Today's episode of the program is brought to you by Vinted. I cleared out my closet a couple weeks ago. Wasn't really planning on it. I was looking for something else and ended up sitting on the floor with a pile of shirts I hadn't worn in 3 years and a jacket I forgot I owned. None of it was doing anything but taking up space. And I paid for every piece of it. That's real money just sitting in the closet. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday sellers, people like you and me, to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. So I downloaded Vinted, and I listed the jacket first, right there on the floor, photos, couple lines about it, set my price, 2 minutes. Then I did six more items before I got up. No seller fees. When something sells, you keep what you earn. All of it. The first round paid for dinner out and a pair of new shoes. And once an item sells, Vinted creates a prepaid shipping label for you. I love that. You print it, you drop the package off, done. There's room in the closet now. And it's a lot easier to bring something new in when you know the stuff you're not wearing can go back out. The app is free to download. Vinted. Ready to start cleaning out your closet and making some extra money? Download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn. And for a limited time, enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Now back to the conversation.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
She began walking around the lake in the evenings because she needed somewhere quiet to go. The habit started during a difficult summer when work had become stressful, and she found herself carrying that tension home each night. The lake was only a few minutes from her house, surrounded by a paved path that curved through open grass, patches of trees, and several small picnic areas. One complete loop took nearly an hour if she kept a steady pace, which was usually long enough for the frustrations of the day to settle. She preferred walking near sunset after most families had packed their coolers and children had left the playground. A few runners and dog walkers usually remained, but the lake grew quieter as daylight faded. The water reflected the changing sky, and the trees along the far bank became dark shapes against the horizon. She walked three or four evenings a week whenever the weather allowed. Over time, she became familiar with the regular visitors. There was an older man who carried binoculars and stopped often to watch birds, a woman who walked two small dogs in a stroller when they became tired, and a group of teenagers who fished from the same wooden platform near the parking lot. She also learned the rhythm of the lake itself. Ducks gathered near the shallow end before dark. Frogs began calling from the reeds as the temperature dropped and bats appeared above the water just before the first park lights came on. None of it was unusual, but the predictability was part of what she liked. The first time she saw the woman, she had nearly decided not to walk. Rain had passed through earlier that afternoon, leaving the air heavy and the path damp beneath the trees. The sky remained overcast and evening seemed to arrive earlier than usual. She had spent most of the day inside and finally decided that even a short walk would be better than none. Only a handful of cars were in the parking lot when she arrived. She recognized the older man's sedan and saw two people fishing near the boat ramp, but most of the park appeared empty. She had walked about halfway around the lake when her mood changed. Until that moment, she had been thinking about ordinary things. What she needed from the grocery store, a phone call she had forgotten to return, whether the rain would start again before she reached her car. Then, without warning, an intense sadness settled over her. It was not the vague heaviness that sometimes followed a difficult day. This was immediate and overwhelming, strong enough that she slowed her pace and took a deep breath. Her chest tightened and she felt close to tears, despite having no idea what had caused it. She stopped near a bench and looked across the water, hoping the feeling would pass. That was when she noticed the woman. She was standing beneath the trees several yards ahead, just beyond the edge of the path. At first, she appeared to be looking toward the lake. She wore a long, light-colored dress or skirt that seemed oddly formal for an evening walk, although the shadows made it difficult to see clearly. The woman stepped out from the trees and crossed the path. She did not glance in either direction or seem to notice anyone nearby. Her head remained slightly lowered as she walked through the grass toward the water. Something about her manner concerned the walker immediately. She was not moving like someone approaching the shore to enjoy the view. There was no hesitation and no attempt to avoid the wet ground. She moved slowly but directly, as though she had already decided exactly where she was going. The sadness grew stronger. The walker left the path and followed at a distance, uncertain whether she should call out. The woman was still several yards from the shoreline, and there was nothing openly alarming about what she was doing. People wandered down to the water all the time. Then the woman stepped into the lake. She did not remove her shoes or gather the bottom of her dress. She continued forward until the water covered her ankles. The walker called to her. The woman did not turn, and she took another step, moving deeper into the water. The lake bed dropped gradually in that section, but the bottom was uneven and soft. Even someone familiar with the shore could easily lose their footing. The walker called again and began moving faster. By the time she reached the edge of the grass, the woman was several feet from shore. The water had reached the bottom of her dress, yet she continued without reacting to the cold or the mud beneath her feet. Then she was gone. There was no splash and no sudden movement beneath the surface. One moment, the pale figure was standing in the lake. The next, there was only dark water reflecting the gray sky. The walker ran to the shoreline and searched in every direction. The lake was calm. Small ripples moved through the reeds, but there was no sign of anyone swimming or struggling. She called out several times, expecting the woman to surface farther away, but nothing broke the water. For several seconds, she stood frozen, trying to understand what she had seen. Then she pulled out her phone and called emergency services. Within minutes, park employees and police arrived. She showed them exactly where the woman had entered the lake and described what she had been wearing. Officers walked the shoreline while another searched from a small boat. They asked whether the woman might have turned back toward the trees or walked along the bank while she was approaching. She knew that was impossible, but her explanation sounded less convincing each time she repeated it. No one was found. There were no shoes, footprints, or belongings near the shore. The mud at the water's edge appeared undisturbed except for the marks left by her own shoes. The two people fishing near the boat ramp had not seen anyone matching the description, and neither had the older man with the binoculars. Eventually, the search ended. One of the officers suggested she may have lost sight of the woman in the dim light or mistaken a reflection for someone entering the water. He was polite, but she could tell that he did not believe there had been a real emergency. By the time she returned to her car, the overwhelming sadness had disappeared. In its place was embarrassment, confusion, and the lingering fear that someone might still be beneath the lake. She did not walk there again for more than a week. When she finally returned, she chose an earlier hour and stayed on the opposite side of the path whenever she passed the wooded section. The lake looked ordinary. People fished, children rode bicycles, and ducks gathered near the shore. There was nothing to suggest that a woman had walked into the water and vanished. Still, each time she reached that part of the trail, she looked beneath the trees. She told herself she was only making certain no one was there. But she also remembered the sadness that had arrived before the woman appeared, and she could not shake the feeling that for those few minutes beside the lake, she had experienced grief that did not belong to her. For the next several weeks, she continued walking at the lake, although the routine no longer felt as simple as it once had. She chose busier evenings and tried to finish before sunset. Whenever she approached the wooded section, she noticed everyone nearby, the fishermen along the bank, couples on benches, runners passing in either direction. Their presence reassured her that if something happened again, she would not be the only person there to see it. Nothing did. The path remained ordinary and the sadness never returned. With time, the memory of the woman began to lose some of its sharpness. She still believed she had seen someone walk into the lake, but she became less certain about the details. Perhaps the fading light had made the woman appear farther into the water than she had been. Perhaps she had turned along the shoreline at the moment the walker lost sight of her. Neither explanation accounted for the undisturbed mud or the complete absence of anyone nearby, but doubt was easier to live with than the alternative. By late summer, she had nearly returned to her old routine. Work remained difficult, and the evening walks once again became the place where she let the day go. She no longer crossed to the opposite side of the path near the trees, although she still glanced in that direction whenever she passed. Nearly 2 months after the first sighting, she arrived later than usual. The day had been hot, and she waited until the temperature dropped before leaving home. The parking lot was still half full when she began, but people were already gathering their belongings and heading toward their cars. By the time she reached the far side of the lake, most of the voices behind her had faded. She was considering turning around when the sadness returned. She recognized it immediately. The feeling settled over her all at once, bringing the same tightness to her chest and the same inexplicable urge to cry. She stopped walking and looked toward the water. For several seconds, she saw nothing. Then movement among the trees caught her attention. The woman stepped onto the path. She appeared as the walker remembered her, not in every detail because the distance and fading light obscured her face, but in the way she carried herself. Her head was lowered and her long, pale clothing moved close around her legs. She crossed the path without looking toward the walker or the couple sitting farther down the shore. This time there was no question about what she was seeing. The walker called out before the woman reached the grass, but she did not respond. She continued toward the lake with the same slow certainty, never hesitating or changing her pace. The walker followed, speaking loudly enough that the nearby couple turned to look. She moved faster across the grass, although some part of her already understood she would not reach the woman in time. The scene seemed to be unfolding on its own, untouched by anything happening around it. The woman stepped into the water and continued until she stood several feet from shore. From this distance, the walker could see that her dress was not white, as she had first believed, but a faded gray or blue. Her dark hair was gathered loosely behind her head. When the walker called again, the woman showed no sign of hearing. Then her outline began to fade. She became less solid against the water, as though the evening light were passing through her. The color of her clothing disappeared first, followed by the shape of her shoulders and hair. Within seconds, there was nothing left except the dark surface of the lake. The water never moved around the place where she had been standing. The walker remained at the shoreline until the sadness began to weaken. The couple approached and asked whether she was all right. They had heard her calling to someone, but neither had seen the woman. From their bench, they had watched her leave the path and walk toward the water alone. This time, she did not call the police. She knew no one was drowning. She had watched the woman disappear without sinking beneath the surface, and another search would only leave her trying to defend something that sounded impossible even to her. During the following days, she searched local news archives for accidents at the lake. She found reports of several drownings, but none described a woman matching the one she had seen. The lake had existed for generations, and there was no way to know how many incidents had been forgotten or poorly documented. Eventually, she asked a longtime park employee whether anyone had ever reported seeing a woman near the far shore. He did not seem surprised. Years earlier, a fisherman had mentioned someone walking beside the water after closing. Another employee had once found footprints leading from the path to the lake, with none returning. Neither story had been recorded officially, and he had never witnessed anything himself. The answer offered no explanation, but it reassured her that the experience did not belong entirely to her. She kept walking. Autumn approached slowly that year. The heat lingered, and weeks passed without enough rain to replace the water lost during the summer. The lake receded from parts of the shore, exposing pale mud, stones, and patches of ground that had been underwater during her first two encounters. Each evening, she looked toward the trees. The woman did not return, and by then the fear had begun to change into something else. She no longer dreaded seeing the pale figure step onto the path. Instead, she found herself wondering whether the sadness would come first and whether she would recognize it before the woman appeared. She also began wondering why the figure always walked into the lake at that particular place. The question remained with her as the shoreline continued to retreat. By the beginning of October, the lake looked different. The long, dry summer had left the water several feet below its usual level. Mud stretched beyond the grass along parts of the shore, and stones that had always been hidden beneath the surface now formed uneven lines around the lake. near the wooded section, the change was especially noticeable. The place where the woman had entered the water during the first two sightings was now a wide patch of exposed ground. She continued walking there several evenings a week. The weather had cooled and the park emptied earlier as daylight shortened. She preferred the quiet, although she no longer found the lake as peaceful as she once had. Whenever she reached the far side, she watched the trees and listened for any change in herself. Weeks passed without another appearance. The longer the woman remained gone, the more distant the encounters began to feel. She could still picture the pale clothing and the lowered head, but she sometimes questioned whether the second sighting had looked exactly as she remembered. Memory shifted when examined too often, and she had gone over every detail more times than she could count. The sadness was the one thing she never doubted. Nothing in her own life had prepared her for that sudden weight of grief. It had not felt like fear or sympathy for a stranger entering dangerous water. It had arrived before the woman appeared and disappeared after she was gone, as though the emotion had been part of the scene itself. One evening near the end of the month, she reached the lake later than she intended. The sun had already dropped behind the trees, leaving only a narrow band of fading light above the water. The parking lot had been busy when she arrived, but most people were finishing their walks and heading home. She considered turning back before reaching the far shore. Then the sadness found her again. The feeling was stronger than she remembered, but it was no longer entirely unfamiliar. Her chest tightened and tears rose before she had seen anything. She looked toward the trees and knew the woman would be there. A pale figure moved between the trunks. The woman stepped onto the path and continued toward the lake. She wore the same long dress, the color difficult to distinguish in the evening light, and carried herself with the same quiet certainty. Her head remained lowered, and she gave no indication that she saw the walker standing only a short distance away. This time, the walker did not call out. She understood that the woman would not hear her. Whatever she was seeing had already happened, perhaps many years earlier, and nothing said or done now could change its course. She followed at a distance. The woman crossed the grass and reached the place where the shoreline had been during the summer. Instead of stopping, she stepped down onto the exposed mud and continued walking. There was no water around her feet. The walker remained near the grass, watching as the woman moved across ground that had been submerged only months before. She did not adjust her steps for the stones or soft patches in the mud. Her clothing did not catch on the weeds, and she left no footprints behind her. The sadness deepened with every step. The woman reached a shallow depression where the lake had once covered the ground. For a moment, she appeared to be standing ankle-deep in water that was no longer there. She continued forward, her dress hanging straight around her legs. Then she began to fade. By the time she reached the current shoreline, only the faint outline of her shoulders and hair remained. She disappeared completely several feet before the dark water began. The walker stood motionless. The lowered lake had revealed what she had not understood during the earlier encounters. The woman was not choosing the present shoreline. She was following the edge of the lake as it had existed at some other time, repeating the same walk without knowing that the water had moved. The realization made the scene feel both less frightening and more sorrowful. She stayed until the last trace of daylight disappeared. The sadness slowly eased, leaving behind a heaviness that remained with her long after she returned home. She did not search for the woman again. There were too many possible stories and no way to know which, if any, belonged to the figure she had seen. The lake had been altered more than once over the years. Water levels had risen and fallen. Sections of shoreline had been reshaped, and the park employee had already told her that not every incident there had been recorded. A name would not explain why the woman continued walking toward the water. When warmer weather returned, she found herself looking toward the trees each time she passed that section of the path. The woman never appeared. Years passed, and she continued walking around the lake whenever she could. The shoreline changed with the seasons, sometimes reaching into the grass after heavy rain and sometimes pulling back during dry summers. She never again felt the sudden grief that had warned her the woman was near. At first, she was relieved. Later, she began to miss her. She did not miss the fear or the overwhelming sadness, but she sometimes hoped to see the pale figure step from the trees one more time. The woman had never looked at her or asked for help, yet those few appearances had created a strange sense of connection. She wondered whether witnessing the walk had mattered in some small way, even if the woman had never known she was there. Whenever she reaches that part of the lake near dusk, she still slows her pace and looks toward the trees. The path is always empty. The water remains quiet and the sadness never comes. She has not seen the woman since that autumn evening, but she continues to leave room for the possibility that someday, without warning, the lake may remember her again.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.